This is Greater LA on KCRW. It's the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're in South LA today on the corner of 77th and Broadway, right off the 110. On the steps of the neighborhood police station, there's a line of about 20 people beginning to wrap around the block. It's a little chilly. They're huddled against the cold autumn evening. They're here for an annual event, a turkey giveaway. A team of volunteers stands by to check in the families and hand each a bag of assorted items, things such as stuffing, green beans, cookie mix, and of course, a turkey. And news soon gets out about the giveaway, and one woman approaches with her daughter to get a bag. But she soon finds out that the food is for one particular group.
This is for the families whose children were murdered. And they have, they do this every year for those families and try to make it easy on them. And then they have a list.
LaWanda Hawkins runs a victim support group called Justice for Murdered Children. She's been giving out Thanksgiving fixings for more than 20 years after her son was killed in 1995. She knows firsthand how hard it can be for these families to endure the holidays. Going to the mall, hearing all that Christmas music, seeing the decorations, the other families preparing to gather. It can all be a painful reminder of what they've lost. So Hawkins puts on this event, not just to provide a little financial help, but to let these families know they're not alone, that there are others dealing with the same struggles who understand what they're going through. I'm here in the studio with KCRW's Jerome Campbell, who attended that giveaway and spoke with LaWanda and some of the people who came to receive those turkeys. Hey, Jerome.
Hey, Steve.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, by the way.
To you as well.
We're talking about turkeys. LaWanda Hawkins sounds like an incredible woman. Mm-hmm. She stands in the gap of obviously a tragedy that she's also been through. Did you ask her why she decided to focus her efforts on Thanksgiving in particular?
Well, she has all kinds of events that she hosts through her support group for families of murder victims, especially around this time of the holidays. But this turkey giveaway is the main event, and it came out of this conversation she had with kids from parents in that group. Here's Hawkins to explain more.
I said, well, what did you have, and this and that? And they were saying, well, we were eating hot dogs on a fork over a fire. I'm like, go camping? No, that was the dinner. I'm like, what the heck was going on? And then they started talking about, you know, mom was crying and all this and that and dads, you know. And then I understand what was going on. The parents were grieving. They were going in the rooms. And the kids was left with nothing.
And Hawkins wanted to respond to that need. She just needed help to prepare that table.
So how did she do it, Jerome? I mean, we're talking about a lot of people here. There are hundreds of people who get killed in L.A. every year. The L.A. Times homicide report showed about 650 were killed in the county last year, 280 killed in the city.
Yeah, well, she definitely had her hands full. When she started in 1998, she was able to get about 500 turkeys.
Wow, that's a lot of turkeys.
Yeah, but in recent years, she's struggled to get even half of that. This year, when she was getting everything together to figure out how she would do it all, she wasn't expecting to get more than about 40 turkeys.
That's a huge difference. So what happened? We go from hundreds of turkeys to just a handful.
Yeah, I mean, she couldn't really identify one specific thing. She really talked a lot about not getting the same type of support from politicians and nonprofits that she had in previous years. And so she's had to rely on guerrilla tactics to get these turkeys. In past years, she stood outside the grocery store with another member of her support group named Vicky. And they literally gave money to shoppers asking them to buy turkeys.
It reminded me of old times when me and Vicky used to be in the store begging people to go in. If they spent $25, giving them 10 to stand in line and ask them to buy us a turkey, praying to God when they came out, they would give us our turkey and wouldn't try to keep it.
But this year, instead of being outside the grocery store, she was able to reach out to victim support groups for help, and they helped her get about 100 turkeys to give out this year.
When you were out at the event, Jerome, you reported that there were people around the block. Did she have enough turkeys to give those folks?
Well, she did know ahead of time. I mean, she has a list of people who reserve these bags before they even show up. And when they get there, they check in, and the volunteers give them the bag with all the goodies in it. Now, in comparison to earlier years, she was able to send these bags all over the county, even as far as the valley. But she wasn't able to do that this year. Then there were some people who had been there before. There was a woman named Cynthia Behar. Her nephew, Vincent Behar, had been killed in 2008 in the city of Bellflower. Cynthia herself had been a part of LaWanda's group for about 10 years, and she goes to this event because she says around this time of year, it's really hard to be around people who don't really get her. But in this place, she feels understood.
And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of people, when you tell them that your loved one has been murdered, they don't know how to take it. They either walk away or change the subject. But these people, our families that are here today and any other day, as far as Justice for Murdered Children, they do. They understand. And they're always giving big hugs. And, you know, it's just like a united family, honestly.
You know, Jerome, we've heard from some folks about how this event helps these families get through the holidays, because it can be just such a difficult time. But what about LaWanda herself? I mean, her son was killed. She's got, I mean, this extraordinary thing that she does every year in giving out this food to all these people. How does she go about getting through the holidays?
Well, honestly, it's really difficult for her. She's definitely she's had a lot of experience, unfortunately, with, you know, going through grief over and over again. She lost her son in 1995. She was listening to the radio and she heard that there was a boy found on the docks in San Pedro, and to unfortunately find out that was her son.
Mm.
And then while she's, you know, starting up this support group and she's helping all these other people, then her sister gets killed in Arizona in 2011.
Yeah.
And so when I actually tried to talk to her about, you know, LaWanda, like, how are you doing? How are you, you know, trying to support all these people? Who's taking care of you? She didn't want to answer that question. She kept walking away to support other people. So I asked her mother, who is Maxine Anderson, who happened to be there at the event. And she says that this event is her way of grieving.
This is what she has to do. You know, she was going to be a lawyer. You know, her whole life has changed. And she says, this is crazy. And she started this organization. This is what kept her going. And sometimes I say, LaWanda, you're doing too much. She says, you know, it's what she does.
Maxine really wants her daughter to find some sort of rest around Christmas. She talked about hopefully taking her away out of California to, you know, go on vacation and really enjoy the holidays with her family. But LaWanda has, I don't know, another two or three more events for families of murder victims before the end of the year. So we'll see if she does find that rest.
We hope so. She certainly sounds like she's earned it, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. KCRW's Jerome Campbell. Jerome, thanks.
Thank you.
That could be the sound of outside, actually. A little rumble of thunder, some rain falling. Just ahead, feeling alone on the precipice of this holiday. And by the way, I understand that might be on purpose. There are plenty of things to do and places to eat. Some ideas next on Greater LA on KCRW.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanksgiving is tomorrow, which means a record number of travelers all across the Golden State will be driving or flying long distances to be with family. But for a lot of Angelenos, Thanksgiving isn't necessarily a family holiday. A lot of folks spend Turkey Day alone. Alone certainly doesn't have to mean lonely. In Greater LA, there are plenty of places tomorrow for you to see a show or participate in an event or get some sort of free meal or just any meal. Michael Giuliano's editor over at Time Out Los Angeles, and he's written about what to do on Thanksgiving if you're navigating it alone for whatever reason. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. This conversation for us, by the way, started with this notion of what alone is, and it turned into quite the newsroom conversation. I want to make it clear that there's no judgment with being alone on a holiday, right?
No, not at all. I mean, I think particularly in LA, it's something that all of us have probably had to deal with at one point or another.
Or sometimes people just want to be alone.
It is in that way. It's actually kind of the greatest time in LA because nobody's around. And it's kind of like if you have a bucket list of things to do, you can just check them all off going into the weekend, because everywhere you go, it seems like it's a ghost town.
All right, so let's start with the beginning of the day, which for a lot of people means the turkey trot or some sort of run-up before the big feast. If I'm an outdoorsy kind of person, pretty active outside, I'm willing to get up early, what kind of runs or walks does Los Angeles offer? And of course, weather permitting.
Yeah, of course, weather permitting. But nothing can tackle loneliness quite like getting the endorphins going, right? And so if you do a turkey trot, I think one of the most centrally located ones is the Turkey Trot Los Angeles, which goes right through downtown LA. There's a nice one up towards La Cañada Flint Ridge. And even if you're as far away as Orange County, there's one by Dana Point that goes right along the harbor. That's like maybe a bit more scenic than some of our central ones.
Get your exercise on before you eat all the tryptophan and get sleepy later on in the day and all the carbs from the potatoes, right?
At least you'll feel good about that big meal later on.
So after you do the run, then you've probably worked up that appetite. So are there any places to go in LA where you don't have to eat alone?
Yeah. You know, when we think of dining out on Thanksgiving in LA, we have this sort of vision of like white tablecloth restaurants, right? But I think my favorite option, if you're going to eat alone, is at Cassell's. This is this sort of revived old school burger joint in Koreatown. Mm-hmm. And for Thanksgiving, they're putting together this great menu where for only $19, you get your turkey and your potatoes. But it's just like a really casual, low-key place. You know, there's a bar top, small tables. You can either just sit there alone and be at peace, or probably find some other people who are, you know, there just looking for a good meal, and probably don't have to feel like ashamed at all that you're there solo. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I know one of the traditions across the country is football. You can see Dallas play, you can see Detroit play. But here in LA, one of the traditions that I've heard about certainly for Thanksgiving is some comedy at the Laugh Factory. What can Angelenos find if they head there?
Yeah, that's LA's true spectator sport, right?
Right, stand-up right, comedy. Stand-up comedy.
So every Thanksgiving, the Laugh Factory does this great tradition where they serve four dinners completely free for anyone to attend. They'll serve dinner, do a stand-up show, and oftentimes, too, these are the stand-ups serving you the dinner. When I last checked, they didn't have the lineup out yet, but in the past, this has been some big names like Dane Cook and Tim Allen and Tiffany Haddish, like, you know, kind of your Laugh Factory regulars will make an appearance for this.
Is there a place, so say I don't want a whole lot of funny business, or I want to maybe just do something really sort of frivolous during the day and not really worry about going to eat. I want to go outside, maybe an amusement park. And again, weather permitting, because I know rain is in the forecast for much of the day. But if you want to get out there and go to, say, an amusement park, are there any specials for stuff like that?
Well, there aren't necessarily any specials, but all of the amusement parks are open, right? So we're talking Disneyland, Universal, Knott's, Six Flags. They're all open on Thanksgiving. And oddly enough, if it does rain, that actually might be a great time to visit, right? Because who wants to go to Disneyland during Thanksgiving dinner in the rain? It actually might be fairly uncrowded. That said, if you go and it's crazy crowded, not my fault. But if I had to take a guess, I feel like it actually might be a good time to go.
Right. You can go, you can do Disney, you can do California Adventure, do the two-park package, right? And when it rains, I mean, it takes a lot of rain for them to shut it down for the most part, or at least shut down the rides.
Yeah. So that's why I think Disneyland and Universal are actually great bets in the rain, because some of the best rides are indoors, right? If you go on Space Mountain at Disneyland or the Forbidden Journey in the Wizarding World of Hogwarts at Universal, yeah. Right? Those are two both massive rides indoors. That's going to be rain or shine. Whereas a place like Six Flags, I mean, you probably don't want to be on those crazy roller coasters in the rain if they're running at all.
There's certainly a lot of roller coasters up in Valencia. What about other museums? Say people wanted to go check something out. You know, what happens after Thanksgiving is, in earnest, it's the beginning of the true holiday season, right?
Yeah. So a lot of like the major museums are closed on Thanksgiving Day, but some of my favorite low-key institutions are open. These are places like the LA County Arboretum in Arcadia, Descanso Gardens in La Cañada Flint Ridge. You can just walk around a lovely, peaceful garden during the day. Now, mind you, this is again another weather-dependent kind of thing. But in both of those cases, too, if you want to stick around into the evening, both of those institutions do their sort of whimsical Christmas light events. So at the Arboretum, that's Moonlight Forest, where they have these massive Chinese lanterns and light tunnels on this trail all around the Arboretum. And then meanwhile at Descanso, they do Enchanted Forest of Light, which is this really sort of moody and, as the name implies, enchanted take on a holiday light event where basically all of the park's natural flora is illuminated. There's a lot of really sort of interactive, immersive exhibits. And, you know, if you have family with you, of course it's a fun thing. But I mean, I've done both of those things just walking around by myself, and they're incredibly immersive and a lot of fun.
What about you? What are you going to do for Thanksgiving, by the way?
I mean, to be truthful, I'm definitely a stay in my pajamas kind of guy for
Are you
Thanksgiving.
really
But
alone?
if there's one thing, no, with my wife. But if there's one thing that would maybe get me out of my pajamas and into the real world, the New Beverly, which is the single screen theater that Quentin Tarantino owns, every Thanksgiving they make sure that they have something screening. And this year it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's kind of one of those amazing only in LA things because you can see the Tarantino directed film at his movie theater on his personal print of the film. And there's all sorts of props and stuff on display. There's a pre-show before the film. Where else can you do that?
Is that something that might get you out of your pajamas?
It might. I mean, it's late enough in the day, too, that I feel like I'll have to get dressed at that point, right?
Michael Giuliano, editor over at Time Out LA. Michael, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Well, getting outside for Thanksgiving may be a little hard given the weather forecast. Oh, wait. Did I say weather?
Here comes the sun.
Powerful storm system is moving through the area today and tomorrow, bringing with it rain, maybe some thunderstorms, heavy downpours, mountain snow, and cold. Fritz Coleman is the legendary weatherman at KNBC Channel 4 here in LA. Hi, Fritz.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. You know, the one term that I keep hearing over and over again when I'm watching these weather forecasts is bomb cyclone. What is a bomb cyclone?
Well, you know, we like to come up with terminology that wields the most amount of threat to the general public. So I think 2 years ago, a severe weather forecaster came up with this term. Bombogenesis is low pressure that deepens so quickly that it exaggerates its effect. And it's a low pressure area, like an extra cyclone. A cyclone being low pressure that rotates counterclockwise, and it just deepens so quickly that the effects are exaggerated. We're probably not going to feel that extent of the low. What we're feeling in Southern California is what's feeding into this low, which is an atmospheric river. This is a thing that we finally put our name on. We used to call it the Pineapple Express, this plume of moisture that would come from south of Hawaii down to the equatorial regions, move northeast, and it was sort of a garden hose that fed into these lows, giving them two, three, four times the amount of rain, which would be typical in a winter storm. And we're seeing that today in Southern California.
And here we are at the end of the month, and, you know, we've got this rain, this system moving through. You mentioned an atmospheric river, so the rain will continue into Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, and then perhaps break, and then more rain coming after that?
Exactly. In the 24-hour outlook is that we will finish this heavy period that we had. By heavy, I mean, you know, the steady period this morning, which was the actual front passing through. And then we're going to take the afternoon off, and that's going to be kind of a head fake. Don't be lulled into quiescence because it's not over. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to get another heavy period from 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning for a few hours. And then we're going to have on again heavy periods throughout the day, Thanksgiving, tapering off to residual showers on Friday morning. And then we're going to have most of Friday off. It'll be partly cloudy. And then we have another one, and I will go to work today and sort of figure the intensity of that one, but a kind of a follow-up storm late Saturday into Sunday.
And there's the possibility of more rain next week as well, right?
Yeah, Yes, exactly. Yeah, so yeah. Maybe this is what they call the door opening. If the mechanics stay in place where this atmospheric river, this feed of moisture continues, and this huge, what we call a trough, a major low-pressure area over the west, and then little lows spin around it like the storm we're having now, if that stays in place, then it could be a typical weather pattern.
And Fritz, I've got a treat for you today because we've got Grace Manners, who is owner of the Quail Cove Lodge up in Big Bear. We're getting rain down here in the L.A. Basin, but guess what they're getting, Fritz, up in Big Bear?
Oh, they're loving it. Are you kidding me? This is a pre-Thanksgiving gift. They're unsure ecstatic.
Grace, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Enjoying this weather.
Is it snowing up there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's started coming down pretty steadily early this morning. You know, it's not accumulating too much in my area, which is the north side of Big Bear Lake, but we've got a couple of inches, and it's coming down good.
It's coming down good. The forecast is for several inches, right, over the course of the next few days. And ski season, right? The resort opens up in just, what, on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, so how are you guys preparing for this incoming storm? You guys see stuff like this all the time, right?
Well, not as often as we would like to, let's put it that way. We've actually been preparing for the last few days, you know, getting snow shovels out, clearing the driveway of any extra debris or in the front porches on all the cabins so, you know, people don't stumble on things under the snow. And making sure tractors are running and we have lots of spare batteries and lanterns for when power goes out. So there's a lot of work involved, but we're set to go.
Hey, Fritz, how much snow is Grace going to get up there in Big Bear?
Well, Grace is at what, like 6,200 feet, Grace, or is
well,
that close?
Actually, where we're at, it's almost 6,800 feet.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, anybody above 6,000 feet is going to get 2 feet when this is done.
Oh.
So they're
going to
have
wow.
a bountiful Thanksgiving ski time.
That's wonderful.
Grace, you're getting a personalized mm-hmm. weather forecast, by the way, from Fritz Coleman at
no
Channel
charge.
4. At no charge, Grace. Isn't that a great thing?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm just happy for the water up there, Grace. I took my family up there a couple of years ago before we had the replenishing rains, and it was so sad to see Big Bear to go out and get on one of those boats. They had that wooden platform built as they do when it's lower than it ought to be, that wooden platform built all the way out just to this little circle of water, and suddenly it's getting back to its healthy self. I'm so happy.
Yes, yes. Last year made a big improvement, but we still have a ways to go. So we're really, all of us are praying that this winter will finish the job and fill up the lake.
We can all be thankful for that.
We'll get a good week to put some in the bank for you here.
So. Yeah, I hope so.
Grace, I really appreciate you joining us from the Quail Cove Lodge. Grace Manners, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Nice to talk to you, Grace.
Yeah. Fritz, the rain will continue through. Like you said, we'll get a little break, more rain. And then, I mean, do we see the rest of the winter being, you know, pretty average? Or do we have any long-range outlooks?
Actually, it seems like an average to slightly above average rainfall winter in the 30 and 60-day forecast. I hope we're right. I hope just to quell the fire. I can't wait to get to work and see how this has helped the cave fire up in Santa Barbara, which, you know, Santa Barbara gets those sundowner winds. And even when the rest of us aren't having a windy time, it can spread a fire so quickly. And this front last night, about 2 or 3 in the morning, really rode to the rescue. So I think it's going to quell the fires for a while. It may move some mud, which is unfortunate, but it'd be great if we could just quiet things down a bit.
Well, if we can get some steady rain, not heavy rain, but steady rain.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah, that's precise. Anything less than a half inch an hour is under mudslide potential. So you're exactly right.
Yeah. Fritz Coleman, our legendary weather guy from Channel 4. Fritz, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Always. I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, we're going to be thankful about the 7 months we've been on the air. Thankful for you and 7 months of Greater LA. Onward we go. I am thankful for Jenna Cagle, Kaylee Wells, Sonia Geis, PJ Shahamat, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Amy Taw, Christine Camito and Christian Bordahl, who make this show happen on air and online every day. Next week, a trip to the Sunset Strip where landmarks abound. Next on KCRW, it's All the President's Lawyers. We're online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Subscribe to the podcast. You won't regret it. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for your ears and your time. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a great day.